I know, you know, the busyness of life, but it's very important, the Bible study. And I had quite a few people this morning, Pastor, I can't make it. I got stuff with family. It's okay. It's okay. But I'll tell you what, be faithful to Bible study. It will change your life. Well, we did a pause in the series I was doing on the cross and the believer. And so we have a couple more teachings on this. And tonight I want to talk about obedience gives birth to blessings. Okay, obedience gives birth to blessings. In the culture of the world today, you hear the word obedience and it's almost a bad word. And we need to understand what obedience is and also what blessings are. A lot of times in church, we define blessing wrongly. And so let me give you a definition of blessing. First, I'm going to tell you what it's not. Blessing is not the house you live in. It's not the car you drive. It's not the money you have. The blessing is an empowerment, which is an anointing. And in that anointing, walking in obedience will open the door, open the avenues of God's covenant to bless you with the house, with the car, with the monies, being able to take care of you and your children. And as Scripture promises, your children's children. So let me say it this way. Obedience gives birth to blessings. We're talking about blessings. It is God's super on your natural. It is God's super on your natural to cause you to have supernatural ability. I'll say it again. I see a lot of people writing. It is God's super on your natural to cause you to have supernatural ability. And why? To do what you couldn't do in your natural ability. To be able to stand and walk in an anointing, lay hands on the sick that they would recover. To be able to withstand when someone comes at you with evil. To be able to make a stand spiritually and not just emotionally. To be able to see people in the way God sees them and not what they're doing. Because as you well know, most of us have testimonies that before Christ, we struggled. I know some of you were, you know, Mary Poppins or whatever all your life. But, you know, bottom line, we have to get to a place of understanding is that everybody has a call in their life. Everybody has an ability to walk in the things of God that's supernatural, but they have to be obedient to it. And that's the goal of the church. That's what I always, in my prayer time, I was here this morning, early this morning, and I was on my face on the carpet. And, you know, I found a clean place. No, I'm kidding. The carpet's clean. But I was on my face before the Lord praying for this morning because I know what I'm teaching is a subject on Sunday morning that kind of causes people to do that. But the reality, I also pray that way because I know everybody that walks in this house, everybody that watches online, I had 32 responses from people who know my email address or know my phone number, leadership, people in other churches that I've met that responded to our message and our worship. And many people who, there are churches now that have started. There's a couple in South Carolina that has between 20 and 30 people now in their home, and they have a breakfast for them, and then they get ready to have worship with us. And so they literally stand in the living room. I've been in his house, their house, and beautiful home, beautiful living room with a big screen and a lot of furniture and a beautiful kitchen. He was a CEO for one of the large motorhome companies. And so the house was very nice. And you can buy a nicer house on the East Coast than you can on the West Coast. But so they're sitting there worshiping the Lord. Why I said all that is because God is putting a super on our natural at Valley. And because we've been obedient. We haven't gone ahead of God. There's a lot of things that through experience of 46 years that I've done, from supervisor, you name it, leading, traveling around the world, speaking at large conventions. The largest one was 10,000 people and different things. And I say that all to you because I want you to understand that my heart is not building a church. My heart is building people who are the church. All right? My heart is, I don't look at what we have, what we work with. What I look at is obedience to the Lord so that I can have the super on my natural. So I can impact lives even though I'm not gifted like a lot of people. You know, I'm not as gifted as some that I know, and I honor them, and I bless them. But I have room in my life that I open myself to other people like that, and I help them see that the church is not about the building, the church is about the people. And I want you to understand, when I'm talking about the blessings of God and the obedience of God, I'm not just talking about that I'm trying to get you understanding of prosperity so that you'll go out and you'll make millions. Some of you may. Some of you have. We have people in our church that already have. But the reality is if you have the super on your natural through obedience, you will always accomplish everything that God's asked you to do. And let me tell you, you will be fulfilled. I've learned throughout my life is if I'm trying to fulfill myself, I never get there. I never get there. My fulfillment comes through the obedience of Christ and to Christ. So it is God's super on your natural. So this is what we need. We need to give birth to anointing, and we need to give birth to something supernatural. And it comes through obedience to Christ. Every time you see a person in the Bible give obedience to God, the next thing you always see is an empowerment to get the job done. Every story in the Bible, you will see the anointing. Through obedience, you'll see the anointing of God. They're given an empowerment. Doesn't mean they don't face struggle or tribulation. But what it means is they went through it. And then you see stories in the Bible of disobedience. What happens in disobedience? All right? And so what I'm talking about regarding the cross and what has been provided through the cross is this wonderful blessing, this anointing. So in order for the cross to permeate our lives, we need to look for an opportunity to obey him. Decades ago, I may have told this story to you, I may have told it at a conference, whatever. But I was raised by two parents who, one was a manager, my dad, of a large company, and a supervisor, my mom, of a branch of AAA insurance company in Michigan. And in that, I learned the work ethic. They would come home with work. And they'd come home. My dad would go outside. We'd play catch. We'd do all kinds of stuff. We'd have dinner. And then he says, well, you know, why don't you guys go out and play a little bit? I just have a little work to do. He'd work for an hour, hour and a half. So I just saw work, 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 all right? Now, that's a good thing. Don't we need to teach our children how to work and grandchildren? And but that's a good thing, but also it's something that can be a negative thing for our lives too. So with that, I went through a time frame where, you know, it's just, hey, if I'm going to succeed, I just got to work. So I learned in my own life through experience that when I took over for a youth pastor job in Kokomo, Indiana, I would have the youth service. God blessed it. It grew from about 20 kids when I got there to over 150 kids within about a year and a half. And I was able to, then I was appointed as the supervisor, youth supervisor over all the youth pastors of the division. And so all in all, there was a lot of things that were going and God was blessing and we were doing things. We were having kids and, you know, Ryan and Melissa and Ryan and Jill. And so things were good. But my lead pastor noticed that I was coming in on Thursday morning. Thursday was my day off like it is here. I choose Thursday to have day off because I want to be here after Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because I've been with you. And I know what's going on. I've talked to people, different things in their lives, and I'm able to check on that and be a shepherd, you know, to be a pastor. So he buzzed me. He says, hey, he says, can you come see me? I said, sure, Pastor, I'll be right over. And I walked across the hall, went into his office, and he goes, have a seat. I said, thanks, Pastor. How are you today? He says, I'm doing really good. He says, what are you doing here? I said, I probably told you this, but I said, well, I'm here because, you know, Wednesday night we have new kids, and I don't have an assistant. You know, I wasn't complaining to him. But I don't have an assistant, so I had to write my own letters and send it out to, you know, that's before email. And or if we had email, it was like you call in and wait 5 minutes for it to happen. Anyways, so I wrote these letters out, and he said, yeah, I know. I said, I'm asking you, what are you doing here? I said, Pastor, I'm looking at him like, what does he want me to say? I don't. And he said, well, let me tell you what I want to say to you. He said, you have a family. You have your wife. I gave you Thursday off. I want you to take that day off. And I'm thinking, but, you know, hey, I get up early. I'm an early riser. Terry's still in bed. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was going to leave about 9 o'clock to go back home, and she'd be up and showered, and we could go do our thing all day. And he said, no, I don't want you in the office on Thursday. So you're going to have to figure it out. So what I did Wednesday night after service, and bye, everybody. Honey, I'm going to stay here for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, so I'd get home about 10 o'clock on Wednesday night. But I was in obedience to that. And, you know, God blessed me because of that. And from that obedience and learning the obedience and honor, God began to bless me, and he continues to do so. So the question then of these opportunities to obey God, where are the opportunities to be obedient? Where or what is the word we obey? See, those are the questions. So let me tell you, first of all, the obedience of the word, first of all, is a logos, L-O-G-O-S, and that's the written word, which then produces the rhema, R-H-E-M-A, the spoken word. So we have to look for opportunity, and we need to understand you can't find the opportunity if you're not in the Word of God. And I'm going to say something later about this. So let's stay on that. But let's read from Isaiah 53. And we're going to read quite a bit here. But let's read this and listen to what's said. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men. We know who they're talking about now. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We saw it. We saw what he was doing, and we didn't see it properly. That's basically what it's saying. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, by righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Then Isaiah 54:1 says, Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. So what the cross provides is this amazing ability to be blessed of God. He took everything so you and I could walk in this blessings. And when I say this blessings, I wanted you to see that it was plural. There's a plurality of things that God wants to do for you. And there's a lot of things that sometimes we struggle with. But when we break forth into singing, barrenness is broken. That's why worship is so important. Barrenness, broken, is the expansion of the kingdom. That's what it's saying. So the blessings from what Jesus did, the work of the cross, is that the kingdom is expanded. That is what I was talking about earlier, is the thing that we need to desire, to put it simply. That's everything that we do, everything that we say, things we do at work. We're doing what we do for the enlargement of the kingdom of God. And we sing instead of complain. So in Isaiah 54:2, it says to enlarge. We must make provision for God's expansion. How do you do that? In the obedience of loving one another, forgiving one another, becoming a giver, a tither, honor to one another, and know the word. All right, I'll say that again because a lot of you are writing notes today. So love one another, forgiving one another, becoming a giver, tithing, and honoring one another and knowing the word. That's how we make provision for God's expansion And by doing those things, what are you doing? You're obedient. You're obedient. It's not what other people do, it's what you do. See, that's what the cross does. It's not because you did it and they did it and you did it and they did it and everything's cool. No, it's because you did it. You were the obedient one, even though they were disobedient. So let's go on with that thought. Breakthrough will not come from the Word of God, but breakthrough comes when you get a word from God through obedience. A lot of people that read the Word, they don't get breakthrough. Because in reading the Word, it's like reading a book. They're not reading God's Word. So they're not allowing the words to manifest in them and intimacy with God and relationship with God. Years ago when I started reading through the Bible, you know, I probably read through it 36 to 40 times. And I used to just read. Times I had a lot on my mind and stuff, so I'll just read, just let the Word, you know, just, and it's good, all right? But I began to read just to read. I was a good reader. But I learned now, I still go through the Bible in a year, but I've learned to slow down. I've learned to, when I've read the Scripture, you know, I get up early in the morning, and I'm an early riser, so, and I read Scripture. Sometimes I'll go early and go get breakfast or come here. And I'll sit there with my phone and I'll have the Scripture and I'm reading it. And then someone will come over and, no, thank you, I'm fine, thank you. Yes, I'd like more coffee. And then I start reading. But I've learned that at times my life, my mind is not where it needs to be. So I'll read halfway through and I'll stop. I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm struggling here, so I'm going to pause here, and later on, we're going to get together. And I do that, and because it's like talking to my wife, and if I'm not really focused on my wife, she notices that. Honey, you're not with me right now. Okay, you're somewhere else. And here's the reality is God wants you to be with him too when you read. All right? So, which then in that it produces this amazing lifestyle of Rhema Word where he begins to speak to you and it becomes a relationship. So please know you must have the Word of God to escort you into the intimate place to get a word from God. You must have the Word of God to escort you into the intimate place to get a word from God, to get Rhema from God. Oh, it is so much fun when I'm reading Scripture or I'm praying and I get a word from the Lord. And it's not a word from the Lord, like a prophetic word, like, thus saith the Lord, you know. No, it's just a word for me. Or the Holy Spirit will show me something that I'm reading of something I studied before. And I have times where I just study for my messages, and then I have the times where I study personally. So I have both. I try to get a lot of my peers in training them and discipling them and mentoring them is they have to have both. Because a lot of pastors just become studiers for a message. And I learned how not to do that as I learned to just really specifically be disciplined and dive into the Word and write out messages and just go after it, go after it. Lord, what are you saying? Go after it, go after it. To where I'm, you know, a couple months, 3 months, 4 months in advance. with my messages. So then I have more personal time with the Lord. So I can get a rhema word. I can get a spoken word from him. Now, granted, the written word was first a spoken word. You see that? God spoke through the Holy Spirit to mankind, and they wrote it down. But what we do is we read what is written, and then we ask the Lord, what are you saying? Or what did you say here? And you get that rhema word. And it's not something that happens every day. Like, you know, if you're looking at me, that doesn't happen every day for me. But I will tell you, I will text message Michelle, and I'll say, the Lord's really speaking right now. And I'm sorry, you're going to get a deluge of things, and don't you get that right. Because the Holy Spirit just moves on me and gives me 3 and 4 and 5 series of messages and the succession to do that. That comes through the obedience of the Word of God, which becomes rhema. Okay? Rhema, again, is R-H-E-M-A. Rhema, the spoken word. Now, everybody can read the same scripture, but how long you spend with the scripture will determine if you set yourself up for a rhema. I gave you the explanation. I used to just read. And now everybody can read the same scripture, but it's how long you stay with that scripture. Two people can read the same scripture, but only one can get rhema. It's not because God is a non-respecter of some people. It's because that one person spent time with God. It became intimate. I'm going to say some other statements that I wrote down that I felt came from the Holy Spirit. Breakthrough comes by staying long enough and having intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. See, many Christians, what I'm trying to say is many Christians are satisfied with acquaintance with God. They go to church, they carry a Bible, and even know how to spell the pastor's name. But they only have acquaintance with God. Scripture says that Adam knew his wife. The word knew is proskaleo in the original text, which means face to face, and it's talking about we're adults, sexual intercourse. Christians must know how to intercourse with God. Intermingling in fellowship with God. Spending time with God. See, when you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you have relationship with him through the shed blood of Jesus. But every relationship needs fellowship. We're talking about obedience brings a blessing. This fellowship begins to become intimacy, and that intimacy brings breakthrough. Think about Noah. God told him where to put a window or a door in the ark. Faithfulness, really hear this, faithfulness is a part of breakthrough. How many times have I, through the years, you know, prayed about something and I'm not seeing it manifest or work? God, did I miss it? I'm going, no, faithfulness. Faithfulness. So it's obedience to the word of God, fellowship, spending time with that, being patient. Let patience have her perfect work. All right? Scripture says. So faithfulness is part of breakthrough. It took Noah over 100 years to build the ark. They called him crazy for years. They said, look at the old guy. He's saying it's going to rain. It hasn't rained in our lifetime. It's never rained. Yeah, they didn't know what rain was. God spoke to him because they didn't know rain because God watered the earth from underground and from the dew in the morning and evening. God spoke to him and he obeyed, and look what happened. The question is, are we willing to pay that kind of price? Are we willing to pay that price to get the breakthrough? Or are we satisfied with a shallow relationship with God? God, yeah, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do this. Never again this is going to happen to me. Nope. And we become bitter, we become angry, we become frustrated. But obedience is walking in kindness and grace and forgiveness and love and care. And I want to tell you, emotionally, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's hard. Years ago, I went to a conference for the children's ministry. And during that time, I went to a healing school with Kenneth Hagin. I saw miracles, and Hagin spoke to the pastors in the room. And so this is what he did. He kind of showed a picture. I added to it because it was my revelation, what the Holy Spirit gave me. But the church is like two babies being dressed by its mother. One baby is compliant, and the mother had no problems clothing the baby. But the other baby's crying and kicking, and the mother has trouble clothing the baby. Your children and your grandchildren, when they were young, and if they were just cooing and looking at you and smiling and you're laughing at them, you know, you just... But if they're like that, you know, but see, that's what I'm talking about, is with the obedience to the Word of God and the situations we're facing. We need to stop kicking. No, I'm not going to. No, we need to just settle down and tell the Lord, God, I'm having trouble with this. Give me a rhema word. Give me a rhema word. So Kenneth Hagin also said, if you will teach the word and how to be compliant to the word, then the Lord will have no trouble clothing the body of Christ with the anointing. And that anointing brings breakthrough. I'll say that again because that was good. And it wasn't me, it was Kenneth Hagin. If you will teach the word and how to be compliant to the word, obedience, then the Lord will have no trouble clothing the body of Christ, the church, with the anointing. And that anointing breaks every yoke. That anointing will bring breakthrough. In our church, in this world, the church today is fighting God. And it's difficult to put this breakthrough anointing on them. But at Valley, the culture has shifted, and we are seeing the miraculous take place. We are seeing great things happen in this church. And it's because of our faithfulness to the Word of God. It's our pillars. Right here. And these, basically, as we studied the history of our church, we entitled them. And this is what the church was functioning in from the beginning, from the founding of this church. And, you know, we've made it a little bit more contemporary. But bottom line, the faithfulness, and now we're seeing, you know, leadership of our church touching cities and you know, from countries, other countries, Nigeria, Benin, Cambodia, Philippines, you know, all over the place, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, we have Texas, we have all these places that we are impacting people that some of you will, you know, you'll never know them. But the reality is because of our faithfulness, and people are getting promoted in our church. People are starting businesses. It's amazing what God's doing. So a reminder, obedience gives birth to blessings. So God's agenda is to bless his people and look for those opportunities to obey. And don't be afraid of the what. God, what are you asking me to do? Be willing also to miss it. Be willing to miss it. Why? In order to make it. I would rather do something and miss it than not do anything out of fear and never attain what God's called me to do. In Deuteronomy 30, it says this, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, Rhema, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you," he's talking to Israel, "that have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice," I'll say it again, "that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." I have scriptures put in specific areas of my home. In I call it the man cave. It's the room that Terry sends me when she wants her own time. No, just kidding. But in the drawer, there's scriptures there, and I go over them, the scriptures. So speak life and good and get a breakthrough by using those scriptures. If you want to prosper in the kingdom of God, do not reject the obedient voice in your heart. It comes out of your heart. You don't just have intimacy with your mind. You have intimacy with your heart. So give birth to this anointing and breakthrough. So I'm going to conclude with an application to this with a question. If you're not obeying the logos, the written word, what makes people think that they will listen or hear the rhema spoken word? If they are not obeying and falling in love with the word of God and allowing it to be expressed in their heart of what they're reading, if they're not doing that, how can they expect for the spoken word to manifest, which that spoken word brings the anointing? Faithfulness with the written word will open you to the intimacy that brings the rhema word. It's the intimacy. There are times, you know, people will knock on my door in my office, they'll come in, and my eyes are just full of tears because I've been praying and I've been going over a scripture and the emotion of it is there. And we need to recognize that. So in this, we're going to go ahead and conclude with this. Is how do you do that? The applications. Do what is written first. Then, after you begin to do what is written, then begin to walk in the bedroom of the Lord where there's intimacy. And in that bedroom of intimacy is where the rhema will be shared with you. I mean, I know we're using terminology and, you know, and it's hard because we haven't seen God. But you know God. You've been there. I know every one of you in your hearts. You love God. Your passion is to grow in Him. And so I'm speaking to the choir here. You have this heart. Isaiah 1:19 says this, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You shall eat the good. Other translation says the fat of the land. That is a blessing. Back then, the understanding is if you ate the fat of the land, that is a blessing, this covenant blessing. So Jesus is alive, and He is Rhema. Jesus wants to speak to you on a daily basis. So let's go ahead and stand, and I want to pray for you because I just want to grow together. I want us all to grow together in this reality. Father, I thank You for the Rhema word that is absolutely Your plan to give each one of us. We proclaim just an absolute culture in our homes, in our church, of listening to the voice of God, of knowing that voice. My sheep hear My voice. My sheep know My voice. You've already said that. You've given that away. That's the cross provided that ability to put the super on the natural so that we can walk in the supernatural, seeing the miraculous word of God, the Rhema word, penetrate and to do miraculous things. And we give You praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.